Welcome back to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we're talking about some issues today that are confronting veterans every day. During the break, I was kind of thinking about what we were going to be talking about, but I need to ask you three guys questions real quick. If you were having a bad day and had not run into this group and had a confrontation with a police officer, what could have happened?
Could have ended bad, quick.
Very bad.
Really?
Whoops.
Whoops. Okay. And so let's, Ed, take us wherever you want us to go.
All right now. So I didn't create the Each One, Reach One, Teach One. That's Mo Armstrong. His name's Joe Mo Armstrong. He's the one that created Vet to Vet. And you asked me during the break here, you know, why are we different? Because we understand the urgency. We know what it's like to sit there and ready to take your own life. We know what it's like when you're hopeless and you're angry and you're mad and you beat yourself up. That's what gets frustrating. March 21st, 2013, a 27-year-old Marine in Afghanistan, TJ Jones, gets screwed up just like Clay Hunt did by the DOD and the VA. And he told his mother on the 20th that he was taking himself out. And on the 21st, he did suicide by cop. As a result of that, about 6 months later, we received a phone call from Captain Jeff Birchfield from Blount County. And he asked us if we could put a police officer training, how to deal with a veteran, just like you asked these three right now. What would you do? And so we worked along, because we have a veterans treatment court, we worked along with Mesa, Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, California, and we put a program on, a pilot program, 235 officers from Blount County. Two of the officers that shot TJ were there, and one officer came up and said, I think it would have been different. Well, God's blessed us, because not only did we improve that during our pilot program, but in February of this year, we had our, what we now call PAIR, PTSD Awareness, Intervention, and Resolution Training to first responders. It's now post-commission certified, and currently we have 865 officers trained, and we're ready to train at Monroe County. We're going to Williamson County, and what we just started new is training our veteran service organization. You had something there?
Yes, you know, with the question asked earlier, you know, how would it have ended? And, you know, I say badly. It's not that I dislike police officers or have any animosity against them. It's just that the way PTSD, my PTSD works is once you start challenging me, I overseas, you know, I was the authority, you know. So when you start challenging my authority in my own country, I get very defensive and don't want to cooperate because, you know, I was taught the basics, name, rank, serial number. You know, that's all I'll give you. And if you start asking me other questions or getting in my space, you know, because that's what police officers are supposed to do. It's their job, you know. But once you start doing that with my PTSD, you know, I start getting nervous, you know, looking around hypervigilant. My brain starts working, you know, a different way. And I'm not really in control of my reactions to you. I'd like to be very nice and polite and everything else like that, but it doesn't happen that way. Like, I think I'm being nice and polite, but I'm really not.
Well, you were at our training on July 30th for the first time, right? And one thing you learned there is that the police officers are very much like us. They
yes,
have
they
the
are.
Same ethos, and so there's inherent alpha. She's but one thing that we did in our research is that police officers have the same PTSD rate as Vietnam veterans. So when we go out there and train the officers, one third of them already know what we're talking about. And then we give a pretty quick example about how a simple traffic stop over not wearing a seatbelt could turn into a TJ.
Oh, yes.
Right? And we're really blessed by, also mentioned Each One, Reach One, Teach One philosophy. When we started the Knox County Veterans Treatment Court with Judge Cierney and Ron Hanover, who's the director, when we started that, that wasn't enough for us just to look at the one county. I live in Blount County. So why should we just help them? When we started our committee, we said we're going to help judicial districts. Well, we called it the hub at the time. And if we would follow normal standards, you know, you got to get the training, you got to do this, you got to get certified, you guys wouldn't be part of our group right now, right?
That's correct.
And let me just show you all we have so far received what the VA calls justice-involved veterans. These services were available to not only but Blount, Sevier, Jefferson, Union, Monroe, Roane, Loudoun, Lawrenceburg, Fentress, and Campbell County. That's 10 counties outside of what we would have started. So it's the bottoms up. One of the successes in the Veterans Treatment Court is the mentors. And you do it every week, right?
Yes. It's anything I can do just to let them talk and to let them get their story out there, you know, because most people you talk to, you know, if they're a civilian and you tell them your story, they just kind of look at you with this glazed over look and have no understanding or idea of what it's like. They'll be like out of that movie. You're like, no, it's a lot different than that. You know, that was a movie. This I'm talking about real life and real life situations. So yeah. Most of them don't understand when you do start talking to them.
Made a statement from the Washington Examiner, has the VA improved? Our group was having a lot of problems, there's no doubt about it. We started out as adversaries, right, Robert? You were part of our original group there, Randy. Reasons, one of the executives told us that there's so many regulations. I mean, who would even understand what the Clay Hunt Act is? You have to be on top of it all the time. But when we went to the lowest of the lowest, was last year, June of 2014, we filed an OIG complaint. And when we come back, I want to tell you how it really works. And if somebody asked me that question, has the VA improved? I could tell you they improved dramatically in our vision, which is a region. And we created a report card, and we would like to present that report card. Okay.
I have seen this group get answers from bureaucracies that would have stopped most groups dead in their tracks. And I have seen you all tackle it and deal with it and wrestle it to the ground and move forward. And that's one reason I'm just honored to even be around to see what's going on. So let's talk about that a little bit in the report card. A good friend of mine has shrapnel a couple inches from his heart that he picked up as a medic in Vietnam, an explosion out in the jungle. And he keeps saying, I went and talked to him, but nobody would help me. But this guy's, you know, he's very sweet and very nice. And to him, when he gets a no, he accepts the no, swallows it, and moves on.
That's what most people do in life, and that's what the VA counts on you to do.
Well, what would not be accomplished had organizations like you all not existed?
Well, tell the story you just got a text there, Robert.
Yeah, I just got a text. It was about a cancer patient who's diagnosed for the cancer on the first visit. And the VA sent him to the clinic. And they can't send him to an oncologist because they have to wait on the VA's permission to do that. And because of the bureaucratic red tape and getting that taken care of, the clinic that he's being seen at is thinking about no longer taking VA patients. And this is kind of some of the things that are affecting us of the VA access card.
Okay, because they can't get paid to treat him.
Right, and wow. They can't get permission to send him on down the road.
We didn't sit there and wait. June of last year, we filed an OIG complaint because we were trying to get a lot of things done. We were trying to get things that were in their VHA, which is Veterans Health Administration handbook. And we were supposed to have a veteran justice outreach specialist. That's a person that goes into the jail. Peer support specialist. We were supposed to have five of them. We didn't have any. We were supposed to have a local recovery coordinator. We didn't have any. We were supposed to have a patient advocate. We didn't have any of those positions. And it was mandated in 2009. So here's what changed. We sat down and talked to network director John Patrick. He's the director of VIS-9. The VA is broken up into VISNs, which are regions, and VIS-9 takes in all of Tennessee. And we had Dr. Cecilia Farina and Joe Showick from Viz 9 meet us on July 7th of 14. We didn't want to talk to the VA anymore. We were tired of it. A lot of us, the leaders, had numerous relapses. John Patrick asked us if we would continue to work with the VA, and he would help us get trust between ourselves and them. Our grade then, for everyone, from the central office to the vision to the mountain home to the clinic, was a total failure. We have an F. And we're having some issues this year in June and July. We've been arguing some issues. And we were ready to write our normal letter. You're not doing this, you're not doing that. And Dennis Levin, who's one of our officers, and he's a chaplain, retired Lieutenant Colonel Air Force, said, listen, why don't we sit down here and talk about what we really did accomplish? So a lot of times when you get mad, you're only looking at the bad things, right? Just like you talked about the rage that comes up, and even though you got good things happening around it, you don't remember because you're in that rage spot, right?
Yeah.
So we created a report card. And I think everyone, I won't mention his name, but talking executive at the VA, he was hoping he would get at least a C. Well, I could tell you, in 1 year, and you guys are going to go after this report card discussion, you're going to go on to 47 listed items, and they're major items that we accomplished in 1 year. And that's because Network Director John Patrick and Dr. Farina, Charlene Arrett from Mountain Home, sat down with the grassroots, us, and we talked about issues. Since then, they talked about having problems. We never had a patient advocate. We have one now. His name's Jay Rhodes. We have not only one, but now we have two local recovery coordinators. And that job is to do outreach to let people know what peer-oriented services are on all levels. Peer support specialists. We were supposed to have five. We have five now. VJO, we asked a couple years ago for a VJO. We were turned down on several occasions. Now we have two. Randy, I know everyone knows what the grade was, and I'll ask the audience this. Knowing what the VA is still doing, and you could hear all the presidential candidates talk about it, and knowing that we started with an F, what would you think the grade should be? Were you surprised at what we came up with?
A little bit.
Were you, Robert?
Yeah.
How about you, Don?
Yes.
And especially when they talk about me. I'm a mad, angry vet, right?
That's the only emotion you have as a veteran, is anger.
See, so it's not just me. So what did you think it was going to be, Don?
I would have said probably between a D and a C.
Okay. How about you?
I would have given them an F.
Okay. How about you, Robert?
I'd give them a D.
D. All right. So we started out just talking about giving Mountain Home the grade, but then we realized there's four different categories. The VA Central Office, A minus in 1 year, thanks to Sean Clark. Will Gunn was the general counsel. He's the one that provided us the funding for our own VJO. And Steve Redman, that's his assistant. He helped us out, set up meetings. He helped us with our OIG. Viz 9, A minus. They started out as F, A minus in 1 year. And that's thanks to John Patrick, Dr. Farina Morin, Joe Showick. Mountain Home, C plus. That's pretty good. This is the day-to-day opportunities that we have to try to settle out. And with the support of Dr. Heck, Charlene, and Dr. Sloan, that F has gone all the way up to a C+. Then we come to the clinic, where a lot of where we really started, and they get a B. I was blown away with that, and that's because of people like Dr. Richardson, Dr. Gannon, who are a therapist. Dr. Gannon's up in Sevier County Outpatient Clinic, and Tori Dorshug, and Debbie Cohen, the suicide prevention. So the total grade from an F in just 365 days went from an F to a full B, 85.7%.
That's fantastic. You know, that really makes me feel, you know, pointing out all the positives instead of the negatives, because it's always so easy for us to focus on the negatives. And when I do go in there, you know, the doctors and the nurses are helpful. You know, they are doing the best they can with what little they have, and you know, they're amazing people. And to hear them, you know, to see these grades have risen from straight horrible to an 87%, you know, gives me some hope that the VA is going to start doing the right thing and continue to help us and to get us our benefits.
But so, you're pushing from the bottom.
Yeah, pushing from the bottom.
So if the heads don't acknowledge what's going on and don't implement policy changes, does this die when the pressure from the bottom stops?
No, we expanded to East Middle Tennessee in September 28th of last year. And when I first went out to Murfreesboro and we had our, they had their mental health council there, the VA viewed me as an adversary. And they said that because I was talking about our, you know, he reported that to me. What I told him was, we're advocates. And because we point out deficiencies, like not having all these positions, until we got the VJO and until we start sitting down here with the management, people that were in the Knox County Detention Center had to wait anywhere from 3 to 7 days for their medication. I know none of us sitting here at the table could last 3 to 7 days without our medication.
Nope.
I would not be happy.
So because we have this relationship, do you know what it is now, Randy?
What?
1 day.
I saw that process going on. That's one, you know, when I look at you guys, I just go, wow. And I'll be honest with you, for almost 2 years, I was harping on this guy right here, Ed. I was going, Ed, you guys are all in your late 60s and 70s, and you need some younger veterans to come in and help fight this battle. And the reason sometimes the reason I don't want to get involved in trying to fight the battle is I don't have the qualifications. You know, I don't have the, you know, and all I can do is tell your story. I mean, that's the best place for me to be for you guys. But we need more Iraqi veterans, more Afghan veterans to step up, because they are the wave. The Vietnam veteran is not the wave. Is that correct? At least I love you. Let's go ahead.
I would say that all us Vietnam vets, we care about them, sans anybody, any veteran that served service. They are part of us, no matter what. Okay. And that's it.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, if it. Right now, we, you know, us SANS guys have the benefit of learning from the Vietnam veteran era veteran. Not only do we need to come in and learn so knowledge can be handed down, but we also, you know, need to step up to the plate so we can, once you guys start getting into the older generation to where you can't fight, we can be there for you to help you and to get your benefits and to get ours and to help out other veterans that are along in their journey, whether they're young, old. So we're going to have to step up, and we definitely need more SANS veterans to come in and to join our group.
Get help.
We do. If each one reaches one and teaches one, we should double in a year, right? But and I've seen the frustration, and I've seen the I guess I don't know what the right word is, but when you're angry and frustrated and know that you're going to win this battle, but you're going to have to put so much energy in and you know what you have to do to win it.
That's called being a veteran.
Okay. All right. But the problem is there's wear and tear that goes with it.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen
all three of the officers just had relapses on May 5th.
Right. We, as a group, the Knoxville Veterans Mental Health or Vet-to-Vet, we need more of you guys. And how old are you, Adam?
I am 34.
How old are you, Robert?
43.
Okay. Remember the movie I talked about? We got a little break here in a minute. But at the Battle of the Bulge, those guys were 19 and 20 years old, too. Okay. They came home to, they had to deal with wash machines and refrigerators and the 1950s and the 1956 Chevrolet. And there was lots of work going on and things like that. You guys are coming home to a whole different environment.
Well, I think the difference is everybody went and fought in World War II or had a helping hand in it. You know, nowadays wars are so distant and out of sight, out of mind, you know. If you look at the percentage of actual combat veterans in the SANS groups, we're like, what, 0.03 or something like that?
You're less than half of 1%.
Yeah, less than half of 1% that have actually been in and seen combat.
And so, that World War II veteran, heroes that they are, may have spent 90 to 140 days on the line.
Oh, well, and some longer than that.
Yeah, I know, but then some of our guys now are going in for their third and fourth tours. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about that in a minute. We want to talk about the accomplishments of your group. First, we've got to do the news and the weather. You're listening to Veteran Next Door Live. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.